Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hi. This is Mel Rosenberg here, the host of the Children's Literature Channel on the New Books Network, and I am here with the spectacular artist, writer, author, illustrator, Myra Kalman, who brought me to the beach at Tel Aviv for this interview. Hi, Myra.
Hi, Mel. Good to be here, right? On the sand, by the water?
I can't think of a better place to interview you. Well, actually, I can. So if you are listening to this interview, this means that our publisher has allowed it with all the ambient noise of the waves and the music and what have you. So, Myra, you have how many books coming out this year?
Three.
Would you like to tell us a few words about them?
One of them is called, I do a little bit of self-publishing where I create booklets with my son, which we raise money for various causes. The first one was called Trees, and it was raising money to make sure that Trump wasn't elected.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that book single-handedly
got him out. Then we did Women Holding Things, which raised money for organizations fighting hunger. And now I'm doing a book called Bed, which is about my love of bed and being in bed and beds. And that's going to raise money for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another book coming out called Women Holding Things, which is about women holding things, both literally and metaphorically. And that's an expanded version of the shorter Women Holding Things.
Mm-hmm. And you're also illustrating a book for another author?
Yeah, Michael Frank wrote
I have to remind you of what you're
thank
doing.
Thank you. Yes. Michael Frank wrote a fantastic book called 100 Saturdays, mm-hmm. interviewing a 99-year-old woman who was taken from Rhodes as a teenager, brought to Auschwitz, survived, and came to New York. So her journey of loss is palpable, and it's a beautiful, beautiful book. I did the paintings from her photographs of her life.
Wow. As somebody who loves Rhodes, I'm dying to see this book. So, Myra, I know you might want to deny this, but you are a famous and beloved writer and illustrator of children's books, among all the other things you do in the art world. Where did this all start?
It started when I was born. It's very nice of you to say that, Mel, and I think that the most important thing that anybody can say is that they're doing their work in a meaningful way and finding out and being surprised every day, and that's literally what's happened to me. So
you surprised me today here at the beach.
The day is young, and it's only 8:15 in the morning. I thought I was going to be a writer, and then I decided I couldn't stand trying to find all the right words to write, so then I decided that I would draw. That would be easier, and then I saw that I could combine that with writing and painting and being a journalist and traveling around and telling you what I saw. And that's what I'm doing. It's 50 years, and that's what I'm still doing.
Incredible. But you grew up here in Israel. What is the backstory here?
I was born in Tel Aviv in 1949, mm-hmm. and we came to New York in 1954 for a temporary stay, which ended up being the rest of my life.
The temporary are the longest ones.
That's very true. And I have an apartment in Tel Aviv, so there's a incredible connection and relationship that I have with my family and friends in Tel Aviv. So, and Tel Aviv is an incredible city, and after New York, it's the most interesting city I know.
Okay, so you grew up here till the age of 5. You speak Hebrew, so I'm assuming that's your mother tongue.
No, English is my mother tongue.
Spoke English until the age of 5 in Tel Aviv?
No, I spoke Hebrew, but to say that it's a mother tongue, was my first language, but I'm certainly not fluent enough in Hebrew by any means. English is my language.
Because I think that those of us who write for 5-year-olds, or ostensibly write for 5-year-olds, have something going on at the age of 5.
Well, I have something going on that I'm still 5 years old.
Exactly.
That's maybe a different aspect. That's my persona of being a person who kind of didn't grow up.
Okay, but at the age of 5, you were uprooted from the sea here, Tel Aviv, and brought to?
To New York City.
New York City is a big place. Manhattan, Bronx.
Manhattan, mm-hmm. And then we moved to the Bronx, and I loved it from the first minute because I often say, we discovered Coca-Cola. What could be better? This is a great country. I said, this is a great country. They drink this amazing drink called Coca-Cola.
Yes. And then when you grow up, you can have rum and Coca-Cola.
No, I still just have Coca-Cola.
So you're a true American. And when did the people say this, Myra, as a gifted girl?
You're very funny. Well, I did well in school until I started to dream more than I started to work. So I think I believed in myself for some strange reason. And a lot of it is a mystery. You just don't know. You have a need to do something. You have a need to write. And who knows what?
Okay, but did you read a lot? Did you write a lot? Artwork a lot?
I didn't paint a lot, but I did read a lot. I was a big reader. And I thought when I read Pippi Longstocking, mm-hmm. I've talked about this many times. When I read Pippi Longstocking at the age of, I don't know, maybe around 8, mm-hmm. and understood what it was to be holding a book that somebody had written, I thought, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. What were your favorite books at the age of 5?
I don't remember at the age of 5, but at that age, when I was conscious of books, it was The Secret Garden, mm-hmm. and Pippi Longstocking. And then, as I got older, Ludwig Bemelmans is a big influence, the Madeline books.
Yes.
And Kay Thompson and the other, he's extraordinary. And one of the things that I understood by looking at his life, though I wasn't that well versed in what he was doing, was that he was writing and painting for adults and for children. Mm-hmm. And that to me was an important aspect of my work, that I wasn't limited to one area.
Mm-hmm. So when did you decide that this might be a professional calling?
But no, I really did think of it as my job, my vocation. When I was about in my early 20s, mm-hmm. I realized,
Early 20s?
Yeah.
But you went to college?
Well, I went to college for literature. And then future husband and I both dropped out because it was the late 60s, and that was the time.
You were flower children?
A little bit. Everybody was.
You sniffed Coca-Cola?
Well, everybody experimented with many things, let's just say that.
All right.
And we both started to work, and I thought, I want to do something that allows me to travel, that shows the audience what my life is and what I see, and that's exactly what I did. So it was work to get there.
Were people paying you money to do this?
Well, after a few years of going around with my portfolio to various magazines and trying to get editorial illustration, yes, then I started making money. And then I started realizing that books, that I could do children's books that would combine my illustration with writing, and then I could do adult books that would also combine illustration and writing.
I see your children's books as adult books and vice versa.
Right. I think so. I think that I'm not, I always say I'm not talking down to children, and I'm not talking up to adults. I'm just talking and telling you my story. And, you know, maybe I change the vocabulary a little bit for you know, when I'm speaking to adults. And or maybe the ideas are a little bit more sophisticated, but not very much so.
Mm-hmm. And what book was your breakthrough? Your first book?
Well, the first book with David Byrne from the Talking Heads, Stay Up Late, which I illustrated his song, mm-hmm. was my entree into the publishing world. I certainly wouldn't have been able to get a contract without that kind of his name.
Yeah, but how does that happen? You know, we all, you know, I've written the biography of Carole King, but she won't answer the phone.
Oh. I mean, well, he was my friend. We were doing all of the graphic design for the Talking Heads.
Ah, okay.
So there was a relationship that we had, and we liked each other. He's a fantastic man. And what's wonderful is that we just worked together on his show called American Utopia, which was this stupendous Broadway musical event. Mm-hmm. And I did the show curtain.
That's happening now.
It finished.
It finished now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many performances were there?
Oh, hundreds and hundreds. It went on for months, and then Corona stopped
it. And the curtains.
And the paintings, and they created this show curtain.
Yeah. That's okay. We'll go on.
Okay.
We won't let the people at the beach stop us or the flies.
Yeah. So the relationships also can grow and can be very fulfilling over the years. But he was my champion and my entree.
Mm-hmm. One of the wheels that has come full circle today is that I'm interviewing you, but actually I met you about two or three decades ago when you were interviewing me. You remember that?
Of course. I had such a good time interviewing you. I was happy to meet you. And it was about professions for children. It was called Chicken Soup Boots. Mm-hmm. And it was about all the different kinds of jobs that people might have in this world. So I interviewed you about your invention.
Yes, about bad breath and so on. And you,
which may be very self-conscious, but I... Yeah,
that's okay.
But I plowed
you're
ahead.
Fine. You plowed ahead. And you called me Dr. Mel Smellman.
Yeah.
But the resemblance is there.
I hope that you didn't mind that.
But no, I was very happy because I had lots of hair your drawings.
We take liberties. The writers take liberties, and we embellish, and we change things. But that's the nice thing, that things that are based in the real world can then be adjusted to a different to a story, but basically I'm telling the truth, more or less.
Well, yeah, you're telling your truth, which is the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
I love that book. I look at it frequently. The picture, the version you did of me is. Can I put it on my profile?
Of course you can.
I look much better when you draw me.
No, you look good.
When you draw me, Swami. So what about Swami on Rye?
Well,
another one of your epic books.
The Max series, which started with this poet dog mm-hmm. named Max Stravinsky, mm-hmm. became four books, and one of them was he's in New York, he goes to Paris, goes to L.A., and he goes to India, and which kind of followed some of my travels, and now I'm writing an animated screenplay for those four books
based on Max.
Yeah, of those four books, and so it's 30 years later. Mm-hmm. And then this project comes around, the producer, a Hollywood producer.
A Hollywood producer.
Like a cliche, but a wonderful cliche, a really terrific man, mm-hmm. said that he wants to produce these. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. And the thing about writing a screenplay is that I've never done it before, and I may be terrible at it, mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter. What matters is the curiosity and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, a screenplay, it's just typing on a different kind of paper, I think, really.
I think that because my books are so kinetic and they're very animated, I don't think it's such a big leap for me to figure out what might work on the screen.
Absolutely.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's going to be amazing. So who is Max really?
Well, Max
is probably
me. Did he
exist beyond your books?
I would say he's me. kind of a wanderer, poet, questioning things, observing. And having a wry sense of humor. He's very much like me, actually.
So Myra, your writing is eccentric in a wonderful way. And your artwork is splendid. Also, a little, like, you know, you see any of your illustrations, you see that's Myra.
Mm.
What is your advice for aspiring writers and authors and illustrators who keeping told, B, write like this and illustrate like that and have this story arc and that.
I don't know. Do people still get that kind of advice anymore?
All the time, and they pay for it.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you're listening to advice about how something should be done, then you're in trouble.
Okay. Elaborate, please.
You have to have your own vision and your own story to tell. And if you persevere and you find your voice, then it'll work. If you persevere and you don't find your voice, then it won't work. I mean, the point about working is to do your work, to do it. And if you find, and you have to go through a lot of levels of bad work to get to good work.
Okay. So, but let's go back then to your breakthrough. Because most writers never get a publishing deal. I would say 99.something%. And it's not necessarily because they're bad. It's because it's hard to be discovered.
You
were discovered through David Byrne. But then you still had to sell your book.
And then the next book came along.
Did you get an agent? What was the procedure?
Not yet. But what happened was that this wonderful editor, Nancy Paulson, said, it would be fantastic if I can do this. You know, I'm very grateful to do this book, but the next book I'd like to write and paint. Mm-hmm. And she
What was the connection with Nancy? Nancy's a huge, famous person in this arena.
We asked around, and I think that because of David Byrne's name, it wasn't hard to get have the door open.
Okay, but that was without an agent.
Right.
And then your next book, you sought an agent?
No. I had Tibor was acting as my agent, but not really. And then probably by the third book, I think by Max in Love, Ooh La La Max in Love, mm-hmm. it was time to get an agent to handle all the things that we just didn't want to deal with anymore. And we found the most incredible, beloved, I guess it was 1990, mm-hmm. 91, mm-hmm. Charlotte Chidi, who is an extraordinary human being in every way. And a dear, dear friend and mentor. But nobody ever interfered in what I was writing. Mm-hmm. Nobody said, well, you should write like this or you should do that ever. It's just what I needed to do.
I don't want to comment on it because you are enormously talented, and why should anybody interfere with your voice?
That's right. I agree.
In the meantime, you've published... I'm guessing 30 books, but I really don't know.
More than 30. Now it's growing over 30, which I like that number very, very much.
Yeah, 30 is a good number.
Yeah.
And you're active and bubbling with enthusiasm. And now's the time to ask you two questions. Where do your ideas come from? When you have an idea for a book, can you remember the moment, how the idea was born? Or is it some musical in the muse sense?
I think it's a combination of living life, doing things, reading, walking, working, and you encounter thoughts and ideas. You encounter an idea here and there. And just that my mind is, mm-hmm. I want to say that I do a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. And when I walk, my mind clears, mm-hmm. and then there's room for an idea to bubble up.
What I call a shower moment, but you call it
it's
a walking moment.
The shower moment,
you're walking along the beach here, as I've done this morning from Jaffa, and you have an idea.
Yeah.
What do you do? You're on the beach. You write it down in a notebook. Write it in the sand.
Right, and the water takes it away. No, I do have a notebook with me. I have a sketchbook, mm-hmm. but that I always carry with me. But I'm kind of marinating and mulling over. Mm-hmm. I adore bed. Oh, I've done a lot of paintings of bed. Mm-hmm. What is this thing? What is this desire? So I can write about that and paint that. But ideas just come. I don't know, you know?
It's very hard to teach people to have ideas. Is your sketchbook right here?
It is.
Can I have a look at it?
Sure.
Okay, you people there in audio land, how unfortunate you are that I'm sitting here on the Tel Aviv beach with Myra Kullman.
So I've been
peering into her sketchbook.
I've been carrying these sketchbooks with me since the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have an incredible collection.
Here's Holbein from this morning.
Right. I met him for breakfast before I met you. There was a Holbein show in New York that was extraordinary at the Morgan Library. So I do drawings of trees a lot. And here's
I saw your bedroll here. Your bedbook.
Yeah, bedbook. Yeah.
Wow.
So I, you know, there's writing, there's sketching, a dream. I had a dream with a gray bird with pink wings. There was a show at the New York Historical Society of Black dolls, dolls handmade by black nannies or in the 1800s, which was so poignant.
Oh, was it? Don't. What is this squidgy?
This
here?
Is the beginning of a tree.
It's but the beginning
got,
of a tree.
I got sidetracked. So,
I love it. You know. I love it because that has nothing to do with how trees begin. They have seeds and stuff.
Oh. Okay. Well, you have to draw, you have to start a line.
Seeds and stuff.
This, I was just in Ireland, and this is the door of the house of friends of mine, and this tassel, this big green tassel on the door. So I photograph a lot. All of these, all of the things that I see that I fall in love with.
But all of this is in like a thick black ink. You have a pen with you?
It's a pen with, it's a ink. I have a few different brush pens and stuff.
And
like
dried
that.
Flowers.
Many dried flowers.
This is from your childhood in Tel Aviv where the kids used to dry flowers.
I
send them to pen pals.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible. Most of my sketchbooks are full. Let's see if it, are full of. Oh, I have a fig leaf. Smell that.
Wow.
It's incredible. And you can just. Sometimes you open a book that's years old and there
and
is a
fig leaf
scent,
pops out at you.
And it's a scent that's incredible. So these are just various things from Ireland, bouquets of flowers, and such.
Okay, well, our listeners can't see these things,
yeah,
nor smell them, but it's actually incredible.
Yesterday at the beach, this fantastic woman had dyed her hair bright pink, and she was wearing a red bathing suit, and near her was a woman with fantastic lips. So I noted all. I note those things down, and some of them enter into my work, and some don't.
Yeah, of course. That's incredible. And we're coming towards the end of our wonderful interview. I hope you're having fun.
Very much
so
fun
we'll
with
still
email.
Have, we'll still have time for a coffee and some offshore discussion, offshore and offline. But, you know, so given one of the things that bothers me is that, you know, agents see thousands of manuscripts a year. They take on just two or three picture book writers a year. Your chances are one in a thousand. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Of course you should, because it's, I can't think of anything nicer to do. But what is the advice to people to help them get noticed when their craft is really good? We'll give it as a taken that somebody has studied writing and has progressed and is at a stage where they've written something really, really wonderful. How do you get noticed in this world?
I have no idea. I truly have no idea. I don't know what the levels of connections are now. You know, I started, as I say, 50 years ago, so my networks are established and my name is established. I don't know what somebody does now other than keep on working and keep on pursuing whatever it is that you want.
Is there something in your career that you were thwarted with and yet never gave up?
Everything. Everything is you're thwarted or you'll get a million rejections. I got so many
rejections. You get rejections?
Well, maybe not anymore. I do. Now, even now I do. But, you know, even like working for The New Yorker, yes, I still get rejection. So the level of you just persevere. I don't know how to say anything more. And then you either find your spot or you don't. It's not, nothing's guaranteed.
Okay. If you don't find your spot.
You know, go for a walk. I don't know what to say. You have to either get a day job. I get a nice, fun day job of I don't know what, or volunteer.
And write an email.
And help people. And do what you need to do. I mean, that's the only advice I have is do what you need to do.
So, Myra, listen, this was wonderful. Is there anything I haven't asked you before coffee? There must be a hidden question.
No, it's all very simple and clear.
Okay.
We'll go for a walk and we'll have coffee. And
yeah, so that'll be a perfect finale. I have to sign out, though. So this is Mel Rosenberg. What am I? I'm the host of the Children's Literature Channel for the New Books Network. And I've been sitting on the beautiful, wonderful soft sand at the Tel Aviv Bugrashov beach with the amazing, incredible author, illustrator, artist, Myra Kalman. And it's been special. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Mel. So sweet of you.